Let us open the Word of God to read from the New Testament in Colossians chapter 1. We continue with our study of the book of Colossians, the letter to the Colossians. I'm going to read, and I just apologize for not having a pew sheet today. The week was just too short to get all of that ready for today, but next week we plan to have it ready. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the Word of God. Blessed are those who hear this Word and also live according to what it says. My dear brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Olympic Games are still fresh in our minds. We saw how the athletes contended, won their medals, got on the rostrums, and listened to their national anthems. I think that would be an amazing thing to stand there and hear the national anthem and see the flag, and you think for yourself, I'm representing my country. The athletes put their medals around their necks and show them off at every opportunity. They had smiles no one could wipe off their faces, and rightly so, because the winners are the best in the world in their respective fields. Out of the billions of people on the face of the earth, there's only one as good as the winner. And that is an achievement indeed. But how does one win in the Olympic Games? I want the children to think with me. Now let's think about it. What do you need to do to eventually get a medal in the Olympic Games?
Train.
You have to train. That's good. And more? Sorry, missed that one. You have to believe in yourself. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. What else? What else do you need to do? Yeah, commitment is a good one.
Be
devoted. Yes. You have to make sacrifices. And?
Travel.
You have to travel a lot, yes. And? Play fairly. Yes, play according to the rules. Yes, that's true. And what else? Sorry? Oh yeah, well of course you have to go and compete. I mean, there's no point to prepare yourself and never go there. Okay. That's very important. Okay, well, there's another important thing. At least one. Yes, we have to have a lot of money. Have to listen to your coach. That is very important. There's one last thing that I think is important. Sorry?
Be dedicated.
Live by the rules. Live by the rules, yes. We've got these things. Okay, if you put my feet up, I'll put them there. Okay, this one last thing. Eat healthy food, yes. I would think that's all important in the lead up. Okay. One last thing. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you, yes. Yeah. This is a very important thing that we miss here. What's that? Complete the race. Does it make sense? Complete the race. Of course, athletes do all these things. They go on all sorts of exercise regimes and diets, and they sleep well, they eat well, they do all things. They deny themselves of a lot of things because they've got one thing where they commit themselves to: I want to be the best. They know the rules. Just imagine someone competing in an item and they prepared themselves wonderfully, but they disqualified because they don't know the rules. Or what about the athletes who did everything well, listened to the coach and did all these things, and then 2 meters before the winning post they said, "That's enough. I've had it. I'm giving up." So with all that in mind, let us hear the word of God. Last week we heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how he by grace qualifies us to be the children of God. He conveys us out of darkness into light. Can you remember that? This we know because we've heard the gospel of hope. This gospel calls us effectually. It gives us hope and it plants us into the love of God. In short, the gospel of Jesus Christ turns our world upside down and makes new creatures of us. It puts us on a road for service. We are called not only to be wannabe athletes who only dream of the medals, but we are called to put everything on the line to eventually win. That's why verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1 begins with these words: "For this reason." In other words, because of the grace shown to us in the gospel of Christ, calling us out of darkness to light, because we have a sure hope restored up in heaven, and because we love the Lord and fellow Christians because he loved us, we must then engage in the race. But just be careful not to understand that commitment to the race is a set of rules of good works in order to be saved. No, that's not how it works. The paragraph begins with, "For this reason." In other words, we are called to continue because we are already saved by grace. We have already been conveyed out of the dominion of darkness. We've already received the hope in heaven. And we already tasted the love of Christ and fellow believers. What now? For this reason, the gospel has a claim, a demand. And that's what it is about today. I think the Bible wants us to understand that having received the gospel of Jesus Christ is not enough. To hear it only is not enough. Paul continues his letter to the Colossians and he says, "For this reason I pray for you." What does he pray for? First of all, that they would abound in the knowledge of God. That God would fill them with knowledge of His will by giving them spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, what he basically says here is, now that you've become Christians, I pray that you will grow up and mature as Christians. You cannot remain there where you started when you become a Christian. You have to grow up. They were already saved in the Lord. They had already accepted the message of truth. They already had faith in Christ, and they already began to love one another as family in the Lord. But Paul says, this is not enough. Because they had to be filled. It is almost as if he says, well, you become Christians. You are now members of the Church of God. That's a great thing that happened to you. But there's so much more that you need to learn and you need to become. I pray that God will continue to fill you up with all the necessary things so that you can become a real body of believers. It is as if Paul prays that God, who began the filling up process when he called them, will continue to do more and more in them and for them so that they will know him better. Knowledge of God will not only serve them well as they worship and serve God in obedience, but it will serve as their guide and guard against the attacks of those who want to destroy the work of God in them. How true is this of our day? How many Christians are so easily satisfied? They buy the running shoes, admire it, but never put it on. They got the athlete shoes and clothes, but they never use it. They are elected on the team, but they never show up for practice. There is no growth in the knowledge of the Lord. They cannot stand against the onslaught of the devil, and they cannot defend their faith. Why? Because there is no knowledge of the content of what they believe. Too many churches have much to say about the psychological needs of people today, while they hardly attempt to nurture people with the knowledge of God. The result is an illiterate church who only knows the words of sentimental choruses and songs without theological content. The gospel demands that we grow in our knowledge of God by studying the Word and gaining wisdom and understanding of what is really important in life of the church and our spiritual lives. That's point number one. Grow up in your knowledge of God. How sad is it when when sometimes at Bible study you announce a certain book in the Bible and people can't find it. Not that because the fingers are sometimes a bit, you know, the pages are thin. And I mean, it's just like, I can understand that when you go and some of the pages of the Bible, you can't find them. It's just there. You can't find it. But I think if sometimes in some Bible studies, if you would announce any book or any name that sounds like a Bible book, people will probably start looking for it. And it might not even be there in the Bible. What a pity. What a pity. Study the Word of God. And it will be for you a way in which you can defend your faith. It is so important that we understand this, because we've got an onslaught for our minds out there. And if we don't understand that, we would not know how to answer the onslaught. Then he says, I pray that you will have a life worthy of the Lord. The Greek word used in verse 10 describes Christian conduct. Conduct is a way of life. So now he goes in and he says, well, you've been conveyed out of darkness, you've been given the gospel, you've been given hope, you've been given love and all these things. Now take the knowledge and grow in your knowledge so that when you know more about God, you will do what God says every day of your life. A life worthy of the Lord is to live a life which displays the person of Christ. We are of Him, saved by Him, called by Him, qualified by Him. He is our head. We are members of His body, which is the church. Therefore, we must display something of Him. Once we lived in darkness, but by His grace we are now called, we are qualified, and we are led by the Spirit of holiness. Now Paul prays for the people, become what you are in Christ. Live holy lives worthy of Christ. It does not mean that we must do certain things so that our good works would qualify us for Christ to accept us. It's the other way around. Christ's life is worthy before God, and those who love Christ must conduct their lives so that it displays His holiness and His righteousness. The way in which this life in Christ is worthy before God is spelled out in the rest of this verse, to bear fruit in every good work and grow in the knowledge of God. It is like exercise for the soul. It strengthens to become spiritually fit. It strengthens us to become spiritually healthy and able to do God's will. I find it absolutely amazing. Sometimes I wish I could just pull up, even on Sunday mornings when people go out for the jogging, and just ask them, how long do you think you're going to live in that body? It's a good thing to have a healthy body, I think. Not that I really know, but okay. But what? How long are we going to live in that? Become spiritually fit and prepare for eternity. What does it lead to? Endurance! Verse 11 continues to talk about the Christian life as a race of endurance. A worthy Christian life bearing fruit to the glory of God can stand the difficulties of the race. It does not run out of breath because it is spiritually unfit. Too many Christians just can't stand the strains and the intensity of the race. They give up and never complete the race. How sad is that? The sort of Christian living is not worthy of the Lord who was obedient to the cross in order to save us. As a matter of fact, a fruitless life as a Christian is a disgrace to the name of the Lord. Now, I wrote this, and when I wrote this, I thought, maybe this is a bit too strong. But then I was reminded of the words of our Lord who said that the Father cuts off the branch that bears no fruit in him. And Jesus himself said in another place in the scriptures, if we are lukewarm Christians, he will spit us out of his mouth. So I'm going to repeat this. A fruitless life as a Christian is a disgrace to the name of Christ. Determination. We talked about all these things that athletes do. Determination and patience. That's what Paul prayed for. Patience, which is a state of emotional quietness when things go wrong. A resoluteness and a determination to complete the battle. The smallest hindrance for some Christians lead them to give up. When someone says something about them, they hang up their boots and resign from the battle. Tell you what, I see it every day. You ask people, do you still go to church now? Why not? Oh, there was someone one day, he dared to sit in my seat. Or someone one day said something and look, I didn't like that. I've gone. Now, well, we need to be careful what we say because we can hurt people. We know that. But the life of a soldier is not an easy one. We need to take it on the chin. I remember those days in the army when the corporal kept driving us to teach us there's more in us. When you think you can't do more, he was there to show you a lot more is possible. Even if it meant more blisters on your feet, cuts on your elbows, and a burning chest. And you know what? Those are the only things you remember in the army when it really went bad for you. And you learn from it. Oh, we need more Christians who have endurance and determination not to be thrown off course by unfavorable circumstances. What about the minister? I just for the moment forgot his name. In England, in the Church of England, who was appointed to a charge and his congregation didn't want him there. But the bishop said, you'll remain. And he remained for 38 years without his congregation in the pews. They locked their pews. You know how they did those days. They locked their pews and never came to church. And the only people who came to church were those that they gathered off the streets and sat in the aisles. And he remained for 38 years doing God's work. He didn't give up. And then, of course, the last thing is to have a joyful gratitude and thanksgiving in the Lord. Our calling is to love God and enjoy Him forever. This is and must be true even in the face of adversity. Let's face it. Christian life is not easy. Now you thought, you know what we hear these days? You just give your life to the Lord and everything will go right. Everything will be happy. What a lie. Of course you will have peace with God. And that would be an overwhelming peace in the face of everything else. But if you want sure trouble in this world, become a Christian. That's the story we need to tell people. You become a Christian and you can expect a lot of headwind. Your problems will not be solved, but you will be able to see that you can face it. Oh, well, I wonder what old Abraham would have thought when things went wrong for him. Or what about David and Job and the disciples and the prophets and even the Apostle Paul? Oh, read about what happened to him. He was killed almost, dragged out of the city as if dead. Regained conscience. What is the next thing he did? Did he say to himself, Paul, being an apostle is a dangerous business. You better get out of the city as soon as possible. What did he do? He regained conscience early next morning, and what did he do? Can you remember? What was the next thing on his agenda for the next day? He went back into the city and he did exactly the same thing that caused the problem in the first instance. He prayed, he said, oh, I would think that you would have endurance and in everything give thanks to God. The Apostle Peter writes and he says, I'm filled with gratitude that I could suffer for my Savior. Does it mean that we should fall in a heap when persecution comes? No. Rather, there should be joy in our hearts. Why? Because God has qualified us to share the inheritance of Jesus Christ. My friends in the Lord, we will soon sit at the table of the Lord. The signs of bread and wine are our assurance that the race against evil is won. He is defeated in Christ, and therefore we are more than conquerors. But we need to understand that we are now in the army of the Lord. The battle has only begun, but the outcome is sure. We are called to be spiritually fit for this battle. Where do you stand? How are you engaged in this battle? My prayer for you and for myself is the prayer of Paul for the Colossians. Grow in the knowledge of his will, so that your life may be worthy of the Lord, that you will bear fruit, that you will have endurance, and that you will win the race.